For 2 months now, the New York Police Department has been struggling to recover from the damage caused by this summer's chokehold death of a Staten Island man in police custody. The case of Eric Garner has caused critics to challenge the broken window strategy that has guided the NYPD for decades. Little is known about the officer at the center of the case, apart from grainy pictures and a cell phone video. But WNYC's Robert Lewis has been examining the officer's arrest record and found him to be the embodiment of the department's controversial approach to policing.
I was washing clothes with my father and my girlfriend.
Donovan Taylor is standing outside a laundromat on Forest Avenue in Staten Island, next door to a dollar store and an abandoned gas station. 2 years ago, he watched from inside as plainclothes cops held his father against the window and searched him. Taylor was 17 at the time. He ran outside and asked what was going on. 1 second, an officer was ordering him to stand back. The next, he was swarmed by four cops.
I'm scared. That's what happened. I was scared. And I'm not trying to fight back. It's too many, though.
It was busting his head like this on the floor, just banging it.
That's his girlfriend, Shaquasia Albright. She was pregnant at the time, screaming at the cops to leave him alone.
Yeah, just doing this stuff because he was standing there asking what's going on. That's messed up.
The arresting officer was Daniel Pantaleo, the guy who applied a chokehold to Eric Garner while arresting him for selling loose cigarettes in July. There was widespread outrage after a cell phone video emerged of that fatal encounter.
I'm minding my business. Please just leave me alone.
The video shows Garner trying to back away from officers who want to handcuff him. But five cops pounce. Pantaleo grabs Garner around the neck from behind.
I can't breathe.
The medical examiner ruled the death a homicide, caused in part by the chokehold. The case has inflamed old passions over police tactics in minority communities and the treatment of African-American men, all over the illegal sale of loose cigarettes. But law enforcement experts say it shouldn't come as a shock when a minor arrest turns into a major tragedy. For decades, the NYPD has embraced the broken windows theory of policing, in which low-level arrests prevent more serious crime, with zero tolerance for even the most minor violations.
This is what the NYPD does.
Professor John Eterno runs the Graduate Criminal Justice Program at Molloy College.
This is their style of policing, at least for the last 12 years. And most officers that are on the NYPD, this is the style of policing that they're familiar with. They know nothing else.
But any arrest can turn violent, and violence almost never ends well for the person being arrested. The sad fact is, except for the tragic outcome, the arrest of Eric Garner was a routine affair for Officer Daniel Pantaleo. Far from being a rogue cop, records show Pantaleo's career is the very definition of broken windows policing, the hallmark of the 21st century NYPD. Pantaleo is listed as the arresting officer in 259 criminal court cases since he came on the force in 2007, among the most active cops on Staten Island in that period. Only 24 were for felonies, according to a WNYC analysis of state court records. Almost all of the arrests were in low-income, mostly minority neighborhoods on Staten Island's North Shore, where Pantaleo worked in a particularly aggressive plainclothes unit dedicated to high-crime areas.
It's clear that he's policing by the numbers.
Eterno is a former NYPD captain who has criticized the department's emphasis on statistics. He flipped through the records of Pantaleo's arrests on a recent afternoon in his office on Long Island.
Criminal possession of a controlled substance, unlicensed operation of a vehicle, again, not a major thing, but it is something. Criminal trespass, once again, we see a lot of those. Possession of marijuana, we see a number of those in here. There are some weapon arrests, which is very good. I did see a few robbery, but very, very limited.
John DiCarlo, an associate professor of criminal justice at John Jay College, also reviewed the records. He says there are no red flags that indicate a pattern of excessive use of force. That tells him that what happened on that street on Staten Island was a spontaneous occurrence, one of the random hazards of police work.
The police officer sometimes could lose control of a situation very easily. Looking at an officer's background would not explain something that happened as spontaneously as the Garner case seems to have happened.
Eterno says broken windows policing does explain what happened after the chokehold and contributed to Garner's death.
Where the problem, I think, lies is their non-reaction to Mr. Garner's pleas for help. They didn't see him as a person anymore. Once he was cuffed, it was, okay, my job's done, I have my number, let's move on.
Two-thirds of Pantaleo's cases that made it to court ended up getting dismissed, or with the person pleading guilty to a disorderly conduct violation, just slightly more serious than a speeding ticket. These are people who feel they were arrested and run through the system for no good reason, and see the cops almost as an occupying force.
They always stop, like, black people around here in this neighborhood.
It's a Friday morning, and Terrell Thompson is sitting outside his apartment in Port Richmond, one of the rougher areas in Staten Island, with his neighbors, other young black men, who all have their own stories about being arrested. Thompson was also arrested by Pantaleo last spring. He took a reporter to the block where he and a couple of friends that day were pushing an old boiler in a shopping cart, taking it to the local scrapyard.
We seen a cop car stop, like, right here, and then they made a U-turn.
They had caught the attention of Pantaleo and a group of other cops who thought the metal might be stolen.
I told him, like, the property is not stolen, because I got it from my girlfriend's mom's house. And then, like, mad cops came after that.
They arrested him anyway, and he wound up in criminal court on charges of obstructing traffic and resisting arrest. Thompson agreed to do 3 days of community service and stay out of trouble for 6 months to get his case dismissed. Christopher Pasciotta is in charge of Legal Aid Staten Island office, overseeing criminal defense for people like Thompson, who can't afford to hire their own attorney. The office keeps files on about 200 problem cops, officers who use excessive force or who have credibility issues. And Pantaleo wasn't one of them.
My staff attorneys were unaware of who this officer was at the time of Eric Gardner's death.
Pantaleo has been sued twice for civil rights violations, but court filings show other cops in his precinct have been sued far more frequently. Court records show Pantaleo was also the subject of civilian complaints and has come under scrutiny from NYPD investigators. But such disciplinary records are confidential. Pantaleo's attorney declined an interview request. The Patrolman's Benevolent Association also refused to comment. A video posted on the union's website shortly after Garner's death shows union president Patrick Lynch defending Pantaleo.
His reputation as an active, good, solid police officer.
Just miles away from the streets he policed, a landscaper was working on one of the well-manicured lawns in Pantaleo's neighborhood of Eltingville. Pantaleo didn't respond to an interview request. I couldn't even knock on the door without drawing the attention of a squad car across the street. The home has been under 24-hour police guard since Garner's death. The cop keeping watch says no one is home nor will be.
I'm only here for one day. As far as I know, there's nobody in this house.
Police Commissioner William Bratton has pledged to retrain NYPD officers on the use of force. He also plans to stick with the aggressive policing of low-level crimes. A grand jury meets this month to consider charges against Pantaleo. For WNYC, I'm Robert Lewis.